Thank you, Brian and Arlene and Brandy, for that. As always, we enjoy the music that you all bring to us. Amen? It's always such a blessing, and we appreciate it. And this church is truly blessed because we have many who bless us with those talents, and we're so glad that they use them, not only for themselves, but for us to enjoy as well. If you have your bulletin, if you'll look in there, you also have a sermon note sheet. If you'll get that out, if you would like to use that, I told out to you this morning looking at it, that ought to be an encouragement to everybody. It's only one page long. Amen? It's usually a couple pages long, and it's only one page long. We're going to move through this. I'm starting a series that I've entitled Thanks Living, which will lead us up to and get us through the Thanksgiving season and lead us into the Christmas season. I've noticed on Facebook many of you have taken up the thank you challenge, to where you are posting what you are thankful for each day, and that's good. Because that's the kind of the area, the line of thought that I want us to go down for this month. I want us to be looking at those things that we can be thankful to God for. Which should really take more than a month. Amen? Amen? Okay, because there's a lot to be thankful for. God has given us a lot to be thankful for. But we're going to look at a few things this month. The very first one is where we're at this morning, and that is that we can be thankful because God loves us. God loves me, and God loves you. If I was to ask you, if you had one wish, what would that wish be? Some of you might say, well, I wish that all my bills were paid. Amen? Oh, come on, amen? We all wish they were all paid, amen? You might wish for a new job. You might wish for different vehicle. You might wish for some improvements on your home. For some, I know in talking to Betty, she was wishing that the pain would go away, that she'd quit hurting. And that's a lot of our prayers, amen? That the aches and the pains would go away. If you were to ask the Apostle Paul what his one wish would be, I think I can tell you what it would be, because throughout the Bible it holds true. And I believe his answer would be, I wish to know Christ and know him more abundantly. You see, he understood something that maybe we don't understand, and that is the more we get to know Christ, the more we don't suffer with worry, shame, and fear, and guilt, insecurities. Because when we get to know God, the more we get to know him, the better we get to know him, the more we understand that he loves us. That's one of the things, the main thing that we've learned through our 40 days of purpose, isn't it? Through what on earth are we here for? Is that God created us to love us, and that he does love us. So, starting this series on Thanksgiving, and we're going to start off by looking and answering that question, I can live a life of thanksgiving. That's a life of living in thanksgiving, amen, being thankful for it, thanksgiving, because God loves me. And how do I know that God loves us, loves me, and he loves you? Well, we're going to look at, I think, five or six things that we see. Our passage that Brother R.L. read for us, we'll get to towards the end. But to begin with, and again, if you look on your sheet there, you will see that number one, how do I know that God loves me? Well, I know that he loves me, first of all, because he made me. He created me, but he made me. Psalms 103:13-14 said, God is like a father, tender and sympathetic. I want you to underline or highlight or bold, if I didn't already do it for you, that word father. Because it doesn't say that God is a judge. It doesn't say that God is a policeman. It doesn't say that God is a drill sergeant. It says God is like a father who is tender and sympathetic. God is the perfect father, and sometimes we shy away from that analogy because I understand that in our human lives, sometimes our fathers have not lived up to that expectation that we might see in the Bible. I was blessed. I have a great father. My father is still alive, and my father and I get visit a lot. I had a great childhood growing up, but I understand that not everybody is that blessed. So we need to understand that when we talk about God the Father, we're talking about a perfect Father. We're talking about a loving Father. We're talking about a compassionate Father. We're talking about a perfect Father. And we can know that He loves us because He made us. How many of you really, really thought when you started your life together with your spouse, you started talking about having children, how many of us really thought our children were going to be perfect? Amen? It's just the natural idea. We're going to look at children, we're going to look at having children, and all, they're going to be perfect. The boys are going to be great athletes. The girls are going to be great ballerinas. They're going to be perfect. And then reality kicked in. Amen? We've discovered, or I've discovered, that kids are messy. Babies burp and they drool. It doesn't get much better the older they get, does it? They start breaking things. And when you go on trips, little brothers and little sisters rile up their other, or older brothers and sisters rile up their little brothers or sisters at the worst time. And yes, they even have meltdowns on airplane trips. Amen? Now, yes, there's a story there. I'll have to tell you about that later. We just got back from an airplane trip with two young girls riding for several hours. But what we began to realize is that children are not perfect. And then they get older. And they take all of your money. They take your cars and trucks, and they drive those, and they break those. And they're not perfect. But we still love them, don't we? And they're still important to us. And they're still the focus of our lives. If you have any question about that when we get all done with the service, you meet me back here in the back, and I'll get my phone out and I'll show you the pictures of my children and my grandchildren. You see, no matter what they've done, no matter how much they mess up, we always love them, right? Now, God being the perfect Father is even more so than that. He made us. He created us. And that is proof in itself that God loves us. You see, when you think about it, God being God, when He created us, He already knew every sin we would commit. God already knew every bad decision we would make. He would know every dumb thing we would do in life. But He still created us. And He still loves us. And that's pretty good proof that he loves us, right? That He made us, knowing all those other things. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God is love. And we understand that God made us as an object of His love. He said, I'm going to make them because I want to love them. And that's exactly what He did. So, we need to understand that God, that we can live a life of thanksgiving. We can be thankful because we know that God loves us, and one of the ways we know He loves us is because He created us, even already knowing all the vehicles we would tear up, all the bad decisions we would make, everything we would do wrong. He still created us anyhow. And He loves us. Amen? Second thing, I also know that God loves me because He notices every detail of my life. He notices even the little bitty, small, everyday details. of my life. Matthew 10:30 said, God knows how many hairs are on your head. Okay, for some of us, that's not quite as much detail. Amen? But He knows. And He cares about them. He is interested in every single detail. He loves us completely. He is interested in every part of our life. Now, I'll be honest with you. There was a time in my life where I thought God was only interested in when I was doing the right things. I really thought I had this idea, and I came with this in my mind, that He was interested in me when I showed up at church. He was interested in me when I read my Bible or when I did something spiritual. But I have since come to realize that the Bible teaches us God loves us and cares about us all the time. He's interested in our lives all the time. It doesn't matter what we're doing. He is interested in the details. He's interested when we're happy and when we're sad. He's interested in us. He's interested in us when we make that sale or we don't make that sale, or are we accomplished that task at the work and we don't accomplish it. I love, Ariel always makes the point, and I appreciate him making it when he prays and he gives us those bulldog reports. We're not necessarily praying and too concerned about the win-loss, but we're cared about those kids, their future, about their lives, their safety. God's the same way. That's why we can pray those things. We don't need to just think that He's interested when we're up high and we're doing good. He cares about us even when we're not. When we're down and we're depressed and we're discouraged. He cares about you when you're doing your hobbies. God is concerned about every detail. Now, we know that. Literally, all you have to do is look at Facebook or look at some parents' or grandparents' iPhone or their phone, and you can tell who they're keenly interested in. Amen? Because I guarantee you, as I skim through Facebook each day and kind of keep up with what everybody's doing, I see far more pictures of kids and grandkids than I see of them. And that tells us what we're interested in. Because see, what we're interested in is what we pay attention to. You can tell the interest by how much details you have, how much detail you care about in somebody's life. Well, there was a lot of details Thursday night. With all the costumes, I believe I saw everybody, just about little, either child or grandchild, picture of what they were dressed up like. Amen? And that's okay. Because that way we can tell what you're interested in. Well, God's the same way. You can tell what God's interested in because in how much detail, how much He pays attention to detail. Our scripture says He knows every hair on our head. We can live a life of thanksgiving because we know that God cares about every detail. See, I know in our lives we all are going through things. Some of it major, some of it where we don't really pay a whole lot of attention. But every time, all the time in our lives, we're always experience. All of us experience those things. And I don't know exactly what it is in your life, but I want you to know God is aware of it, and God cares about it because He loves you. He cares about those financial issues. He cares about those physical issues. He cares about the social issues, those problems at work, the problem at school, those struggles within your marriage. He cares and He is aware. And that's proof that He loves us because He notices every detail of our lives. Number three, not only those two, but also I know that God loves me and God loves you because He gave us the capacity for pleasure. He gave us the capacity for pleasure. I want to give you, I think it's three examples that tell us that we know that God created us for pleasure. Because first of all, He gave each and every one of us a set of eyes, didn't he? Now, he could have, when he made you, he gave us each eyes when he made you and made me, and he filled the world with color. The purpose of color is pleasure. You see, God could have created everything just kind of in grayscale. But instead, he put it color. He didn't want it just to be a drab color. Instead, he made this beautiful world with canyons and vistas and sunrises and sunsets. We were last weekend, as everybody knows, we were in Richmond, Virginia for the wedding, for my niece's wedding. And I want y'all to know something. Right now is a pretty time to be in Virginia. All of the trees are changing colors. You've got almost every color of red and orange and green that you can think of, and browns there. And as we were driving back and forth, I was just soaking in the beauty of the trees and the mountains that are up there. See, God didn't have to. If he didn't really care about us, he could have just let us see everything in gray. A lot of his creations, that's what they don't see the multiple colors. But he gave us the ability, and we can know that he loves us because he gave us the ability to the capacity for pleasure. And he gave us eyes that we could see those beautiful things and it would bring us pleasure. Another thing that he gave us a pair of ears. Not only did he give us eyes to have the capacity for pleasure, he also gave us a pair of ears. And we hear all kinds of, and he put all kinds of great sounds that come to our ears. Music is what we normally think of. That music brings us pleasure. Now, he could have just created one sound for everything. Again, a lot of his creation, that's what they do. They don't hear multiple different pitches or ranges. They just hear one sound. But because he loved you and he loved me, he gives us the ability to hear all those different sounds. And then there's a third reason, and it's my favorite one, as you can tell. And that is, he not only gave us eyes to see, ears to hear, but he gave us taste buds to taste. He gave us the ability to enjoy cinnamon rolls. I better stop right there, right? It's too close to lunch. Fort Worth ribeye, barbecue ribs. You see, he could have said, well, I think I'll make human beings just like airplanes, where they just have to run on fuel. And their fuel, I don't know, let's just make it oatmeal. But instead, he gave us the ability to have taste, to enjoy the pleasures of taste. 1 Timothy 6:17, it said, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, I put that verse in there because I wanted to help dispel this idea, that this myth about Christianity that we hear all the time, and that is, if I commit my life to Christ, the rest of my life is just miserable. Listen, when we commit our life to Christ, it does totally the opposite. It unleashes all of those things that God has for us. We don't really know what fun is until we discover the reason God made us and the purpose that he has for our lives and the plan that he has for our lives, and we get in line with that. That's enjoyment, amen? That's fun. That's excitement. And we know that God loves us because he gave us the ability to enjoy, the capacity to feel and enjoy pleasure. Number four, I know God loves me also because he has good plans for my life. He has good plans for my life. God always wants the very best for you and I. We need to understand that. We need to remember that. We need to let everybody that we come in contact with know that. God always wants the best for us. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. We've been seeing this verse again through that 40 days emphasis an awful lot. He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You see, the point of this is God knows what's best for us. God knows how to make us more happy, to make us happy more than we know ourselves. The problems we get into is when we start thinking that we understand it and we know it more than God, and we start going after things that we think will make us happy, and they don't. They never do. Well, I better not say that never. They might for a short season, but ultimately they bring us grief, don't they? It's when we follow the things that God wants for us to do, when we follow the things that the Lord has for us. See, when we follow our own foolish instincts, that's when we have worry and guilt and fear and bitterness and resentment and depression and discouragement and insecurity and all those other things. But see, when we follow what God's plan is for our life, then we have pleasure. And we understand that His plans for our life. What did it say? Plans to prosper you, to give you hope, and to give you a future. Jesus said it this way. He said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to its fullest." What I want you to realize, and what my wish is for each one, or part of my wish, I guess, is that we all would understand Jesus did not come and die on a cross so that you and I could have a religion. There was already plenty of religion in the world, and it wasn't working. He came that you and I might have a relationship, that we might have a relationship with a God, the God who created us. And so He gave us the owner's manual. It's God's Word. And when we follow it, and we follow His plan, then we understand we're living then. We're not just existing. We're flourishing. We're not just floundering through life. God cares about us. He loves us. And He has good plans for us. That helps me to understand. And that reminds me that He loves me. Number five, not only those, but I know that God loves me. I can live a life of thanksgiving. And I can know that God loves me because He sent Jesus to die for me. He sent Christ to die for you and for me. I want to tell you all something. That is the ultimate proof of if somebody loves you or not. Amen? Is if they're willing to give up their life for you or not. And that's what Jesus did. Romans 5:8 tells us God proves His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know of very many people that will die for us. I guess the closest we come to that without being Jesus is, and that's why we honor our military. That's why we honor our law enforcement. That's why we honor our first responders to things. The fire department, EMS, it's because they are willing to put themselves in harm's way. But Jesus came and He died. He knew He was going to die. And He was willing to do that for you and for me. Even while we were rejecting Him, He was willing to come and die for us. You see, each of us are going to stand before God one day and we're going to give an account. And really, there's only two answers when God asks, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" One answer is, well, because I paid the penalty, I paid the price to get here. I want everybody to hear this. I want everybody to understand this. You don't have enough credit to do that. Amen? You don't have enough currency to pay for that sin. But the right answer is I accepted Jesus who paid that price for me. Because, see, the price, the cost was to live a sinless life and then give your life up as a sacrifice. And Jesus did that. He was the only one that could do that. And so we know we can live a life of thanksgiving. We know that God loves us because he sent Christ to die for you and me. There's a final one that I want you to look, want us to look at. And that is, I know that God loves me because he forgives me when I ask him. He forgives me. You see, most people, I've come to understand, most people don't get to know God because of guilt. Now, what I mean by that is when you were in school or even at work, wherever it might be, if there is somebody that you don't think likes you very much, you generally just stay away from them, don't you? You generally just kind of go the other direction. You don't keep trying to get to know them. You stay away from them. And the sad thing is, that's where a lot of people are at with God today. They believe and they think that because of what they've done in their lives, that God's mad at them or doesn't like them. And so the only response is, well, I'm just not going to be around him. I'll stay away from him. You stay away from people that you don't think or that you think don't like you. But that's completely wrong with the attitude about God. God loves us, and he shows that he loves us because he forgives us of our sins. Maybe you felt like you said, I can't have a relationship with God because of all the things that I've done wrong in my life. Well, that's wrong. Maybe you felt like, well, I can't have a relationship because I could never be forgiven for the things that I've done. You're wrong. And to show that you are wrong, Jesus shares one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Just to show that and to illustrate that. And it is the story of the prodigal son. In that story, the father is a type or a representation of God. The son is a representation of you and I. The son blows it. He takes his inheritance and he leaves the father and he goes out on his own and he loses all of his money and he winds up finding himself taking care of pigs, which he wasn't even supposed to be close to them. He is completely messed up. And then the story says that he returns to his father. His father takes him back, doesn't he? But the point that I want you to see is the father loved him all the time he was at home with him. The father loved him when he left. The father loved him while he was blowing all of his money on his with all of his inheritance. The father loved him when he decided to come back home. The father loved him when he got back home. There was never a time when the father wasn't loving the son. And that story was shared so that you and I understand there is never a time in your life that God doesn't love you. There's nothing that you can do. I've said it many times. We've read it in the 40 Days of Purpose book. There is nothing that we can do to make God love us more or love us less than he does right this minute. It's because it's not based on your performance or my performance. It's based on who God is, the fact that God is love. Isaiah 54:7. With deep love I will take you back. So he has a plan and a purpose and a goal for our lives. Now, I told you we'd get to our text, and this we're at to it, and we're just about done. This is really my Thanksgiving wish for you, that you would understand this. Our text tells us in verse 18, he said, I pray that, and this is Ephesians 3:18, I pray that you will be able to feel and understand. In other words, that's how you know God loves me. How long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourself. Those four words describe God's love. How long, how wide, how deep, how high His love really is for you and I. But what do they mean? Very quickly, you've got them listed there on the bottom. First of all, God's love, with that about how wide His love is, God's love is wide enough to include everybody. His love is wide enough to include everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. God still loves you. How long? How long is God's love? Well, His love is long enough to last forever. See, that's the problem with human love, isn't it? Human love gets sidetracked. Human love gets tired. Human love takes offense. Human love sometimes slides. But God's love never does. His love is long enough to last forever. And then how high is God's love? Well, His love is high enough to be for everyone. It's high enough to be for everyone. You can never go anywhere that God's love isn't already there with you. And it hasn't gone with you. You will never have to be separated from His love. All you have to do is accept it. And then that last one, how deep is it? God's love is deep enough to meet every single one of your and my needs. There's not a pit too deep that His love can't go down in there with us. Amen? I don't care what that pit is, and you may be in one of those pits, financial, emotional, relational pits. You need to understand, you can't go too far. The prodigal son couldn't go far enough. Even when he made it all the way to the pigs and the pig stalls, it still wasn't deep enough to get away from the Father's love, was it? That's the story, and that's the idea that we need to understand. You know what bothers me, though? Y'all would probably think it would be really, really weird if this afternoon we go to the house, and when we get to the house, I go up to Alty and I just tell her, "Babe, I just love you so much. I love you with all of my heart. Everything about me is committed to making sure that your life is pleasant and that it's happy, that it's fulfilled. I love you more than the world itself." And y'all would think it'd be kind of weird, wouldn't you, if she looked at me and said, "Oh, that's really nice, thank you. I'm watching the game right now." But brothers and sisters, we do that with God all the time. We come to God's house on God's day, and we look at God's Word, and it tells us without any shadow of a doubt that God loves us. And that we're the most important thing to Him. And He is telling us, "I love you with all of my heart. I love you with everything about me. You are the most important thing to me." And we say, "Oh, thank you, God. Now church is over. I need to get going." We need to stop that. Amen. We need to recognize, and we need to do something about it. What you do is, if you haven't ever developed a relationship with Christ, you develop that relationship. It's very easy how you do it. I love what Rick Warren uses. He uses the word base. And that's that idea of how to develop a relationship with God. He said the B stands for "I believe in Jesus." The A of base, "I accept His free forgiveness." The S, "I switch my plan to God's plan." In other words, I let Him be the director of my life. And then E is, "I express my desire to Christ for Him to be number one in my life." That base, you develop a base. What that is simply saying is that we recognize who Jesus is, we accept who Jesus is and what He's done for us, we switch to His plan for our lives, and then we let everybody know that He's our director. We call that salvation, don't we? We call that inviting Christ in our lives. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that. But I would suspect many more of us are here. We've invited Christ in our lives a long time ago. We just need to be reminded. We can live a life of thanksgiving because God loves us. And when we recognize that, it makes us live different, doesn't it? It makes us be more concerned for other people. It makes us be more concerned for what's going on in our church, in our church family. And it makes us more concerned for the people in our community. Because you see, remember, when we love, we're aware, aren't we? We need to be aware. We need to live our lives like we're aware. What's my wish for you? My wish for you this Thanksgiving season is the same that Paul had, and that is that you would know Christ, and that you would know Him in abundance, to where without a shadow of a doubt, you'll know every single time, no matter what comes on in your life, He loves me.